Directions Media, this is Directions on the News for Tuesday, July the 12th, 2011. Every week, this podcast brings you the news that shapes the geospatial industry, location-based information technology, and all things location. This is Joe Francica, Editor-in-Chief today at the Esri UC in San Diego.
And this is Adina Schutzberg, Executive Editor, and for a change, I'm sitting right next to Joe at San Diego Convention Center.
Today we'll summarize the big ideas from the Esri User Conference plenary sessions, from ArcGIS 10.1 in the cloud to ground-based LiDAR data visualization. We'll give you the highlights from today's event. Well, Adina, the opening plenary of the 2011 Esri UC kicked off with the usual fanfare and the pronouncement that this week that the San Diego Convention Center will host 15,000 Esri conventioneers. Jack Dangerman opened, as usual, the plenary session by talking a lot about some things that he's been doing in preparation for this, and most in particular, this deep dive that he said he went through about a month ago with his staff involving the people in his organization, selecting and viewing some of the applications that he was going to preview at the UC, but also moving the conversation more and more to discussing not just the great visualization things that Esri is known for, but getting more into analytics. And I think we'll talk a little bit about that as we review. But we want to talk specifically about some of the key issues that we saw coming out of this plenary. And we've got a few things that we need to highlight. So, Adina, why don't you start off and give us one of that first big idea that came out of this session.
Okay, well, last week we reviewed the conference Q&A, and I made the contention that ArcGIS Online is the answer to every question. And I feel like that was actually confirmed today, because it really was sort of the center of every conversation. And while other products were mentioned, ArcGIS for the desktop, ArcGIS for a server, those are sort of compatriots to the center of this new universe called ArcGIS Online. And I have to say it was a very compelling vision. It looked great. It looked easy to implement, easy to use. I think exactly how it's going to map to specific organizations might be there'll need to be some thought, but it was really very, very elegant.
Yeah, the workflow they went through, each presenter giving sort of a little bit more information as they went along, the integration of multiple services together. I liked the presentation of giving a mashup to someone, putting it into a blog, sending it via email. These were things that were supporting all of the different analytical capabilities of the product, but making the workflow very, very simple to get to. And for the person who is heads down all the time, it made it feel like, well, I can email this project very easily. I can use social media to expose it to more people. As Jack and so many other people went into, kind of more on a technical level, it's addressable from a REST API. It's used from multiple devices. It's a vision that Jack was trying to present called this one map vision that's shareable and accessible by not only one person, but by a whole organization.
Yeah, and one of the things that really enables this new vision is this sort of right-click to publish something as a service. Publish your data as a service, publish your application as a service, publish your model as a service, and publish it up where? On ArcGIS Online.
Right. And that message did come through very succinctly, and more than just going through the usual litany of here's what this user did and we're using for environmental modeling. They got really right to the point in a lot of things about the specificity of what each individual application can do. And I thought that was well received.
Another key part of ArcGIS Online was sort of a detailed look at ArcGIS Online for organizations, which was hinted at in the Q&A, and this idea that an organization will have its own little corner of ArcGIS Online where they can publish their own apps and maps and so forth and share it within just their organization or sort of combine it alongside ArcGIS Online. That also was a very compelling vision.
They did that very well. And if I was someone sitting in the audience, again, one of a user that, you know, my job depended on better communication of what I do for a living, I think they gave them a bunch of tools to help them make that vision a reality. And again, sitting there in the audience, I was certainly overwhelmed by the features and functionality that was presented to me, but I had to come away from this thinking that you know, I can really share what I do every day with more and more people. And Esri has made it easier for me to do that.
Right. And it's not some big, scary cloud thing where you have to host services or understand what's going on. If you choose to, ESRI will take care of all of that for you and give you that place in the cloud. And that's a very simple and compelling argument for the folks who have to make those decisions.
Yeah, and just to touch on some of the features of the cloud, they made, a real statement in showing how a lot of the features will be moving to a cloud environment. Jack was certainly hitting on a lot of these elements, and as he said, he says he now sees this cloud pattern, he calls it a cloud pattern, to be everything that people said. It saves money, it saves time. He said he was moving a lot of his stuff in the cloud, and that the cloud pattern will be in the futures of more and more people. Certainly, we've been talking about the cloud for a number of years. I think it took everybody, not just ESRI, but everybody, a long time to really grapple with, is it really going to save me money? Is it really going to save me time? Can I move the features and functionalities into the cloud? And it sounds like, at this point, it's more of a reality than it has been before.
Everything's sort of fully cooked. And the vision for how the software and the roles map to this new cloud, I think, is really key. And I'm going to go so far as to say that what we saw today was sort of a remapping of that pyramid that we like to talk about, the doer, user, viewer pyramid. Now is all about, in the ESRI context, ArcGIS Online. Because if you are a doer, you're sitting in front of ArcGIS for desktop, making the data, creating the models, creating the analyses. And then what do? You turn them into services and you publish them to ArcGIS Online or ArcGIS Online for organizations or maybe your locally hosted implementation on your own server. And then what happens? Well, the users combine those into different ways to do their work or they create end-user applications that are then used by the viewers.
Right, either different services or different models or different mashups that can then be transported in a very easy fashion, again, by the email, social media. And as disjointed as it may have been in past years to get that vision across, it has become across much more succinctly this year. So that's a great takeaway for these people.
And it also comes back to this idea that ESRI is trying to present ArcGIS as a united
complete system.
And I would, if you had to put anything in the center of it, it's no longer that the desktop, it's ArcGIS Online.
Correct. And they made that really pointed there towards the end of the plenary where they kind of brought up somebody to demonstrate ArcGIS desktop, but immediately switched the conversation and say, and then you can publish.
Right. So everything sort of circles around that. Well, let's move to some of the other announcements and enhancements. There were a whole series of things that just looked really sharp and exciting.
We saw a great demonstration of LiDAR visualization, being able to filter points, taking points to enhance, building model facades, using the points to render 3D terrain. But mostly, and that's from the visualization side, it's to handle the huge volume of LiDAR data that is there for people to use. And they're doing it very, very quickly, which, again, from a demo, you can never tell, but, boy, they certainly made it compelling that this thing was fast and they're handling billions of points. Great. Everything that you wanted to see. If your LiDAR data had been locked up before, there's a lot more comfort factor involved now.
Yeah, and it was also really interesting to hear about an acquisition announcement, which is not something you hear too many of at the ESRI User Conference, but ESRI announced that it was acquiring a company called Procedural, which sort of does 3D visualization. I mean, they're out of Europe, and we saw a wonderful demo of some of the kinds of things that it can do. The big wow one was when there was a road and a pedestrian route, and it automatically took the pedestrian route and made a bridge up over the highway. That was just so elegant, and it looked gorgeous in the model.
It did, and, you know, we've been dealing with 3D model visualizations for many years, but it was always, is it easy to do? How hard is this to really create a 3D visualization package? And this seemed to take a lot of the worry out of that problem.
And the other set of tools, which really looked great, and I'm going to have you talk about it since you're the remote sensing guy, were the imagery tools.
Yeah, the one imagery tool they displayed was taking an image that did not, well, as you zoomed in, did not have the greatest resolution. It got very pixelated or blurry. And what the application was to pan sharpness, take a panchromatic image with a higher spatial resolution to it. And, you know, what you essentially do is integrate the two pieces of imagery and then using the spatial resolution of the higher one to enhance and make it a much more visually appealing image. Well, what they showed was a drag and drop feature. Take the pan image, immediately drag and drop it over the multispectral image, and boom, all of a sudden it's pan sharpened, and you went, holy cow, how did they do that?
And it happened.
And it happened instantaneously. All very, very cool stuff.
And the other half of that was using a tool to measure from the tip of a tower down to its corresponding tip in the shadow, and immediately get the measurement of the height.
The measurement of the height and the approximation of the number of floors in the building, which, again, an approximation, but still an added piece of data that, okay, it's there. It was good.
And really blurring more and more of those lines between what goes in GIS and what goes in image analysis inside the package.
And 3D, bringing it all together in many ways.
Right, and so maybe in the same way that the cloud was maturing, we just talked about, maybe these other parts of 3D, which include things like LiDAR and effective use of imagery and 3D visualization, are also maturing.
And that was a thread in the conversation that has come through when I attended the senior executive seminar yesterday, was that for some reason, a lot of the tools seem to have crystallized in their ease of use, and that's an overused term, but it is becoming much easier for people to do this. You don't have to send it to a specialty firm to do 3D models. Everything is done within a complete system.
One of the other things I wanted to sort of explore was all the things that we didn't see in the plenary,
right?
Or we saw very little of. And the first one that struck me, we were getting up to, it was about 10 to noon, and things typically wrap up at noon in the plenary. And we were both looking at each other saying, hey, we really haven't even talked about mobile yet.
Right.
And while there was a little bit of discussion about mobile toward the end, it did not have that focus that it has in the past.
It's become so commonplace. Everybody's got a mobile device. And the mobile device of choice now being your phone, it's just part of what you do. Yeah, they showed a demo of the iPad, which probably is moving towards greater acceptance in field application. So I feel like they had to show that had to show some demo of that. They did. But you're right, it was given less importance than in past.
And it's a commodity.
It is.
In so many ways, the only thing that people are really waiting for is the final support for the Android platform, which is not yet available. One thing that concerned me that we didn't see was we didn't see Change Matters, that great Landsat side-by-side online tool, which was announced with some fanfare in recent months. That also was not mentioned at all at the education user conference, which I attended in the last couple of days. And maybe that's just not mature enough to revisit, since it's. But I'm rooting for it.
It's probably they're lying on the cutting room floor, perhaps, in the slew of demonstrations that they feel like they had to squeeze into 3 hours.
Entirely possible.
Yeah.
Entirely possible. There was very little discussion about tools for developers, except for the new runtime, which looked really sweet. It was sort of the one last thing. In the last 5 minutes, we got to see a little bit of what's to come, and that looks great.
But I wonder if a lot of that was discussed in the partners conference.
The developer summit,
yeah, the
right.
Developer. So, because I'd run into somebody, and anecdotally, they said that Esri did that very, very well.
And this is becoming the user conference, so that the gory details of a lot of these things, which the developers might need to know, are happening outside of the plenary and outside of what the users need.
And as an aside, you know, when you think that they're still able to get 15,000 people here for this event, and they've got a couple thousand at the FedUC event and at the Partners and Developers Conference event, still to drag this many people into the big international event is spectacular.
Continues to show the reach of the company, right? And all of the fact that many of these things were not included made for a much more clear message and a much more comfortable, I think, environment. It's also worth noting that there was one user demo. It was the city of Boston. It was terrific. They talked about three applications that the city has built or is building, well demonstrated. Sometimes in the past we've had a little parade of users and it was sort of awkward and uncomfortable. And this was one just stellar implementation.
Yeah, and I think if I had to say one thing coming out of that event was that if I was a user sitting in that audience, I would be truly overwhelmed by each of the different features and functionalities that were presented. You had to be wowed by that in some regard. But in many respects, it really was a litany of new items and new things that, as one person that talked about as we were leaving the hall, it was things that maybe had gotten short shrift before, but now all of a sudden were enhanced, were featured in the plenary session, and probably gave everybody those warm and fuzzy feelings if they weren't mentioned in the past.
Right, and so if you are the big analysis person, you got to hear about exploratory regression, right?
I love that stuff, you know.
I confess I didn't fully understand it, but it wowed me.
Well, as we had mentioned in the podcast last week, spatial analysis and analytics are things that Esri really shines at. They have fine-tuned the functionality for spatial analysis to a degree where you would get overwhelmed. But the tools are there.
And it was a great reminder of the depth of what ESRI offers. So much of what we saw today seemed to be skimming the surface because anybody could do it. Right? Anybody could publish those maps in ArcGIS Online. Mm-hmm. But implementing this kind of regression, it's a much deeper kind of thing.
As much at times as we may get on all of these geospatial technology companies that you just can't force one more feature into the product, it is that depth that is differentiating Esri from the rest of the field. That's all the time we have for today. If you'd like to comment about today's podcast, you can write to us at editors@directionsmag.com or place a comment in the comment box where this podcast is hosted on directionsmag.com. You can follow the rest of the coverage of the ESRI UC directly from our homepage at directionsmag.com. Thanks again for joining us today, and be sure to tell a friend.